Welcome to Talking Allergies, the podcast where we talk all things allergies about all types of allergies in all kinds of allergy lives.
From food allergies to environmental allergies, special guests, community stories, allergy and science giveaways, and more.
This is your allergy podcast for all things allergies.
Hi, Melrick.
Hi, Grace, and welcome to another episode of Talking Allergies.
So what do we have on this episode, Melrick?
We're going to be talking about kids with food allergies. And we also meet an allergy mum, an allergy educator, who talks about the education she's been doing with young children with food allergies.
Sounds like a great discussion, particularly as kids with food allergies have very specific issues that they deal with.
Definitely. You know, kids with food allergies, not just the issues, but also the challenges they go through because they're younger. And you know, when we say kids with food allergies, we are talking about kids that could be as young as, you know, one or two when they start communicating and start informing people in the way kids do. And when they're that old or that young, you know, they use different types of cues. As they get older, they try different things. And, you know, it's really important to listen and understand kids that have food allergies, especially if they are trying to sort of identify that they can't eat something or they're unsure about the situation.
Also, they're learning themselves what allergies are and learning how to communicate. So when they're kids, they might communicate it a little bit differently to adults, but that's also because they're learning and growing at the same time.
They are. And they're also listening to what their friends are saying, people they meet, you know, what they might see in like on a cartoon or a TV show. You know, they take a lot of different cues in there. So it's really important to be putting yourself in a place where you go, okay, what are they trying to communicate? And if you're not sure about, you know, what they are saying, is to try and find out more before. So if, you know, it's a kid sort of going, hey, I can't eat that, or I do some sort of action to suggest they can't eat that because they've got a food allergy, you know, maybe speak to their parents, their guardians, anyone you know who could be a responsible adult who is looking after them to find out a little bit more. And we will talk a little bit about some of that later. But one of the things we did want to talk about, you know, specifically with kids and food allergies is the seriousness around those communications, you know. So a lot of the time we do talk about when people inform you about your allergies, what do you do with that? And one of the important points, especially with young children and kids with food allergies, is take them seriously.
Kids with food allergies do try to communicate about their allergies, and having a discussion around it and increasing that knowledge around allergies and having a discussion with them makes it to be a safe place, that they're able to discuss their allergies in an environment that they're welcome to, and also gives them more vocabulary in terms of discussing their own allergies and reduces those barriers too.
It does. And, you know, we need to take kids when they speak up about their food allergies seriously. And this is all allergies, but of course this episode we will talk about food allergies and kids specifically. But if they are communicating and informing, and let's be honest, you know, that is fantastic, because young kids sometimes can be nervous, they can be shy, they might not communicate it, but if they have taken that big courageous step, they're brave, and they just gone, hey, I can't eat that, I've got a food allergy, or I might get sick, you know, take them seriously. If they say they can't eat something, just listen to them, support them, help them. And if you're not sure, you know, as we said before, speak to their parents, their guardians, or if there's someone looking after them, you know, find out more. And if they're in a school situation as well, and you know, maybe you're going to a school, or they're on a road trip or something, and they do communicate that, you know, check with their teachers, the school nurses, and so forth. Find out more about it, but don't try and diminish or minimize what they communicate, because it's really important that we listen to these young kids because they are at a lot of risks, and there are issues and challenges that they face outside of just food allergies. As they grow and they go into different situations, if we can support them in any way, take them seriously.
That's a very good point, Melrick. In terms of talking with kids about their allergies, going from a point of empowering and educating. So if a kid will bring up about their allergies, ask, oh, have you had a reaction before? How do you normally work around your allergies? Do you talk about it? Tell me more.
Such a good point, Grace. You know, that is really, really valuable. If, of course, you know, it depends on how the conversation is going with the young kid. if you're able to find out a little bit more, especially around how to manage an emergency reaction. So you could ask them, what happened? What do you do in a reaction? If they say, oh, I've got my EpiPen, my Anapen, I've got my whatever medication they've got with them, listen to them and be there to help them in a situation. You know, just be that extra support for them, and it'll just make their lives easier, firstly, and then secondly, safer. But I know there's many wonderful people that already support kids out there, and if you're doing that already, thank you. You know, it's appreciated. I know parents, guardians, anybody who is in the allergy community, knowing that there are others out there that don't have allergies themselves but are coming across people with allergies, especially little kids with food allergies, you know, it is appreciated. It is welcomed with open arms.
Definitely. And this is a message not just for the people looking after these children, but for the general public. If any kid comes up to you and says, I have an allergy, always discuss it with them and have a safe place to talk about it.
Along with those lines, since we're talking about allergies, it's important that we also look at other conditions that are food related that kids may communicate about. And with a lot of the conversations we have, and there are overlapping themes in this with food intolerances, for example, such as gluten intolerances, lactose intolerances, even celiac disease, and other food-related conditions. You know, if there are little kids that are communicating that they can't eat something and it is due to a food-related condition, it could be a negative outcome that could really hurt them and put them at risk for something very serious. Please take them seriously. We should listen to kids in general for any food-related conditions.
Very good point, Malwick. It's always better to take the children seriously. And if you don't know, don't guess. So if you're handing them food or if they're discussing anything around not wanting to eat food or have allergies or conditions, it's important to check. Always check with their parents and don't assume.
Yeah. And look, you know, in Australia, we have a few little terminologies we like to use. And I see this used quite often in general life, not just specific to food allergies, but people go, you know, can I have that? And will I be okay? And someone might come back to you and be like, you'll be right, mate. Yeah. She'll be right, mate. You know, it's all good. It's not all good. You won't be right. Don't make these assumptions. Don't take guesses with allergies, with food allergies, especially when it could lead to serious reactions like anaphylaxis. It's not an area where you can just sort of guess and go, it'll be okay, you know, have a go, you know, it's not a roulette wheel. There's no guessing. There's a chance, the probability you might, no, just don't go down that path. If you're not sure about it, just say so. It's better to say no than to put someone at a risk, especially if they're a little kid that may not have the same levels of capabilities to be able to communicate, but also find support in a case of reaction. You know, don't guess. It's not worth it. Just let them know, say so. And if you want to, you know, help them a little bit more, as we were saying before, find out who's their direct adult who's responsible for them, whether that's a parent, a guardian, or if they're on a school trip, or even if they're with a friend or at a party, find out who's there for them, but support them. But do not guess.
But do always take the children seriously. If they say they have an allergy or a reaction and you are not the parent and you are looking after them or around them, take it seriously.
Yeah, definitely. I'm extending the message, not just when they're communicating that they can't eat something, but also if they're communicating that they're having an allergic reaction. You know, help them the best you can. And if you know, if you don't know what to do, if you're unsure about it, you've found yourself in a situation where you're with a young child or anyone that is having an allergic reaction, call Triple O. If you're not sure, call Triple O. Don't hesitate. Just support them, help them, and be there for them.
And in this episode, we meet Jacqueline Navard, who is a lovely, bubbly woman, but also an allergy mum, an allergy educator, author, who has been travelling around Australia educating people on allergies for quite a while now.
She also, you know, does talk a little bit about how she was an allergy mum with the allergy celebrity and avid surfer or pro surfer.
He's a pro surfer now, Malwick.
Oh, Ty. Well, I look forward to hearing all about this.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being on Talking Allergies today.
Thank you for having me.
To start off with, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do for people with allergies in Australia?
Yeah, so I'm the founder of My Food Allergy Friends and the Food Allergy Smile Program. I'm also co-founder of the Allergy Masterclass, so we help families navigate allergies and all the challenges that they have.
Thank you so much, Jackie. That sounds fantastic, that all the work that you do. Could you tell us a little bit about why you got started and your allergy journey?
Yeah, sure. So it started about 15 years ago when my second child was diagnosed with 7 food allergies. So at that point, I didn't know anything about allergies, and it was a very steep learning curve. And I just felt there was such a demand for allergy education that that's how My Food Allergy Friends came about.
So it was a passion in the area that really got you started.
Yeah, yes. When my son was diagnosed with 7 food allergies, there wasn't really anything to teach him about his allergies and how to navigate life. There were a few American books on animals, but I wanted something that used a real little person and used the name of the actual medication that they'd need to ask for.
So did you look at developing those books?
Yeah, so basically I started with Ty Goes to a Birthday Party, because that was one of the first challenges that any of us have as parents, navigating the whole birthday party scene. So I created that. I created that with people with allergies in mind, so, you know, that they needed to obviously check the food, take the EpiPens, and possibly take safe food. But then I quickly realised that it's actually everybody around the child that needs to be educated. And so then the whole series developed from all the challenges, but also at the same time teaching those around children with allergies how they can support their friends.
When your son was diagnosed with 7 allergies, how did you find the day-to-day shifts?
To be honest, it was actually easy. The allergy diagnosis was a complete nightmare, like getting to that point. It was 9 months of basically hell. But once we got the diagnosis, we knew what we were dealing with. So we knew how to make our child happy and not cry and sleep. So when he was diagnosed with 7 allergies, we didn't actually remove the allergens from our house because I had a 5-year-old at the time. So we still wanted him eating a balanced diet. We just obviously were cooking a lot, because with 7 allergies, you can't really have anything from a packet. So, and I actually hate cooking. So that was a bit of a nightmare for me. I had to learn to cook quickly. We were really just creating a lot of food. We still tried to go out to restaurants and things, but we would take his own safe food with us, just like we would when we'd go into parties. The thing that changed probably the most for us, we did do a lot of traveling, and that had to stop. So we did still travel, but it was within Australia, not overseas. So.
Has any of the ways that you changed management then to now changed through the life?
So Ty's now 14, so he's pretty much self-managed. So he carries his EpiPens. He's either got it in his school bag or his surf bag. He knows how to order from restaurants. So at 14, he's going out with his friends all the time. We started teaching him at around age 10 to order for himself while we were still there, so we could pick up if there was anything that he'd left out. So by the time he's sort of now very independent from us, he's really confident at ordering and knows the questions to ask. So I sort of feel a little bit redundant now, which is kind of nice. Because it was so hands-on in the early days, but now he's really self-managed. He does need reminding sometimes. I mean, he's a teenager, so he does need reminding sometimes if he's not going surfing or school, if he's doing something out of the ordinary, that, you know, have you got your EpiPen? Because it's very easy when you're just in a routine, you know, to know that you're picking up your bag, but have you got the right bag with the right EpiPen in it? So,
what advice would you give to someone that just found out that their child has allergies?
Well, a couple of things. I think the first thing is to really be present. When you're diagnosed with allergies, it's very overwhelming, especially in our case when we have 7. And I find that a lot of families will start thinking about, well, how are they going to manage, like, going to the birthday parties, family, going to kindy, going to school, when their child's dating. But you actually have to just stop and go, okay, what are our challenges at this moment? And you'll probably find that it's so much easier to deal with if you're just sort of navigating how you manage allergies at home rather than thinking about, like, how they're going to possibly date and do certain jobs and things like that. So being really present with just the challenges that you have on hand at the moment.
You said that there was a diagnosis of 7 allergies. How did you manage that when you first got diagnosed?
Well, it was just so challenging because the 7 foods were basically in every packaged item I could have bought. So one, it was sort of educating ourselves on how to read labels. But that was such a blessing in disguise because before that time we weren't reading labels. And when you start reading labels, you kind of realize how much crap we're eating, basically, how many chemicals are in our food and all sorts of things. So that was a blessing in disguise. So really we learned to read labels and understand the may contain statements and learned how to cook. And now actually it's really good because I'm not a very good cook and I'm a vegetarian and Ty's not. So he, in the last year, has actually taken upon himself to cook all his meals because I can't taste his meals. He goes, your meals are flavorless, Mum. So he now cooks all his meals, which is fantastic because he's got that really important skill that he needs to keep himself sane. And just recently, actually a funny story, when I was doing the allergy show, so I was away in Sydney doing the allergy show, I got a call from him saying, I've been invited to do a surf camp and it's 3 nights, 4 days away on an island in Queensland. And I said, oh, okay, is Dad going with you? And he wasn't. So I said, oh, well, who's like looking after EpiPen? Who's going to cook? What are you doing for food? And he said, well, I'll be cooking and I'll be ordering out. But I knew I wasn't too nervous because I knew that, one, he cooks all the time at home. And I know that he also orders out a lot at home. So I was confident, he was confident, and the trip was successful. So win-win.
I'm so glad to hear that he not only was looking after himself but also cooked and made sure that – did he make sure other people were aware as well?
The whole surf community that he surfs with all know about his allergies, and luckily most of them are trained in first aid, so they've all done their EpiPen and Anapen training. So they're all actually arguing over who's going to give Ty his EpiPen if he should ever need it. So, yeah, I feel like he has a really good group of friends that are very aware of his allergies.
They sound like the best friends to have.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I mean, when he has surf competitions, I have to laugh because one of the prizes, like, he was so eager to win and he'd always come like fourth or third, and then finally he came first and his prize was a pizza voucher. So, of course, he couldn't have it. Because, you know, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter to him. I said, well, I'll have the pizza voucher and I'll go and buy you an acai bowl that you can have at a cafe. So there's still things within the surfing community. They often have barbecues and you never know what's being cooked on the barbecue. I know they had little bags of lollies once as well. And Ty was eating them and a friend walked past him and said, oh, are they safe for you, Ty? So it was just, so I hadn't spoken to that particular friend about his allergies. So obviously Ty is communicating with his friends, which is good.
That's fantastic for a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
How was Ty diagnosed with his allergies?
It took a very long time for him to be diagnosed. So we knew something was wrong around, I think it was 8 weeks of age. So before that time, he was sleeping about 5 hours a night. And then suddenly he just became this really unsettled, irritable baby. We couldn't have him naked. He would just, like, you know, squirm around and scratch his skin. So he always had to be clothed. And he just basically stopped sleeping more than 20 minutes at a time, day or night. So this cycle of me picking him up, comforting him, feeding him, putting him down to sleep, 20 minutes later, he'd wake up. Oh, what's wrong with him? You try everything, not working. What do you do? Ended up feeding him again. So the whole, and unbeknown to me then, that he had seven allergies, and all those allergens were being passed in my breast milk. So basically I was just giving him those allergens. And though he wasn't having a really severe reaction or anything, obviously he was in a lot of pain. And that was the only way he could tell me as a baby that something was wrong, was just to cry. And then we went to sleep school at 7 months to try and sort the whole sleeping situation out. We actually failed that. So I think you're in for about 2 days and we failed that. So he still wasn't sleeping. But interestingly, at sleep school, they actually feed you. So, and it was to do with people having allergies. So they actually feed you food. So at home, I was eating all his top allergens. Because he wasn't sleeping, I would grab things like boiled egg, pieces of cheese, nuts. So these were all his allergens. But at the sleep school, they didn't have any of those foods. So slowly when we were kept in, my diet was changing and then he started to sleep longer. So we were then sent home because they, you know, thought we'd sort of suss the whole sleeping thing out. But when we got home, of course, my diet went back to the things that I would normally be eating and the whole thing started again. So then at that point, I said to my husband, you've just got to feed him formula. I'm just too exhausted. And he tried to feed him formula, but Ty actually pushed the bottle away. And as he pushed it away, enough milk splashed on his face and he got hives around wherever the milk had touched him, basically. So we were like, oh, okay. Back to the doctors we went. We'd seen about 7 health professionals before this point, but because he looked fairly healthy, they didn't think anything was wrong. He's just a baby that cries. He did start to lose a lot of weight, which is why they sent us to sleep school, because they thought, oh, maybe something is wrong. But then the doctor at that point did a blood test, and that's when we found out that he had 7 allergies. But it didn't end there, because then we went to see a paediatrician, and the paediatrician basically said, the wait list for allergists are, you know, 18 months to 2 years, so I wouldn't bother going on the wait list. He didn't give us an EpiPen. So I literally went home and thought, hang on, he's got 7 allergies. He's a young baby. The chances of him having a food accident are pretty high. And he basically said to me, just wait and see how bad the reaction is. And that just didn't sit well with me. So I said, actually, I called him up the next day and said, actually, I would like to be put on that wait list for the allergist. And thankfully, we got seen at 15 months. So it wasn't, I mean, it was still a long time, but it wasn't as bad as the 2 years. And then actually the night before I saw the allergist, I actually was given up breastfeeding. And that was the first night that Ty slept all the way through, because nobody had thought to tell me that the allergens are passed in breast milk. And if you don't know these things, you don't know. So here was me thinking he's got a dairy allergy. I'm doing the best I possibly can by breastfeeding him. But in fact, I wasn't, because I needed to remove all the allergens from my diet. We saw the allergist. They did a proper skin prick test. We knew exactly what we were dealing with, and the whole family were trained to use the EpiPen.
That's quite a hard story for particularly you.
Yeah, I was exhausted. But the diagnosis itself was, I was like, hallelujah, we know what's wrong with him, you know. And he was literally, from that day onwards, the minute I stopped breastfeeding, he was a different child. He was happy again. He was just laughing. He slept through. I was a different person because I finally had sleep after 15 months. So, to be honest, the diagnosis was a relief, because you now can come up with solutions.
Is there another story or elements that you would like to share about your allergy journey?
I think having like 2 children, and one with allergies and one without, that's something I hear from a lot of families. Because as a parent, I was spending so much time, medical appointments, cooking, doing everything to keep Ty safe. And, you know, you still have another child that needs your attention. And as I said before, we didn't remove the allergens from the house. We learned to live with them safely. And that was important, that his bigger brother knew how to, you know, play with Ty, but made sure he washed his hands. And me and Ty's brother Finn, we used to have little mummy and son dates, and we'd go out and we'd, you know, eat in a restaurant of his choice, because often our restaurants that we went to were restaurants that we knew we could give something to Ty. So we would also make the time to do little mummy and son dates where he could choose his restaurant and he could eat, you know, drink like milkshakes and things that he wouldn't normally have if we'd gone out with Ty. So I think that's really important just to remember that, you know, a lot of families do have maybe one child with allergies but the other without. So it's because allergies don't just affect the child or the person with allergies, it's actually everybody in that family unit, so are affected to some degree.
How have you seen the allergies impact on not only Ty but the family?
I think for me there was a lot of stress and pressure on me because my husband was going out to work. He was very hands-on with my elder child. So there was a lot of pressure. I didn't feel I could go back to work. So financially, that was another pressure. And then I was the one that was cooking, which obviously I hate cooking, and then dealing with childcare and dealing with school. And then I found that that was very challenging and there was no real support. I didn't have anyone that I could turn to in my circle of friends that had allergies. My family were all overseas in New Zealand. So I felt very, very alone, which I think a lot of people do. You know, going into school and advocating for Ty was really challenging, and learning to get my voice and be confident that I was not asking for anything that, you know, Ty wasn't entitled to. When he started school, the school he went to had 26 kids that had EpiPens. So, you know, I thought, oh, this is going to be fine. You know, the school will know what they're dealing with. And I'd already looked at all their school policies and they were really amazing school policies, you know, like encouraging washing hands and not sharing food. And I just thought, yeah, they're all over it. But when I had the meeting with the principal as he was enrolling, I remember saying, so where do you keep your EpiPens? And she said, they're all in the office. And I said, but it's a massive school. Can they not be in his classroom? And I was basically told, well, 26 other parents are fine with them being in the office. What makes you any different? And I was just like, oh, right. And then I was like, well, actually, the school's really, really large. And what happens if a reaction happens down in the playground or up in the hall? It will take too long. And again, it was sort of like, well, what's your suggestion then? And I said, well, why can't they be in the classroom? And they said, well, the classrooms are locked at lunchtime. And I said, well, all the classrooms, they're designed in such a way that they have a big overhang so that none of the classrooms are in the sun, so they're not warm. So I said, well, why can't they be there be a hook outside his classroom and the EpiPen hang there? So it's out of reach of students, but teachers can reach it. And, you know, when they're playing in the playground, they can reach it easily. And so eventually that's what happened. His EpiPen was hanging outside his classroom, which worked really, really well. The school now are even bigger than they were when Ty started, and they've actually, there's lots of students that now have their EpiPens in the classroom, but they've also implemented having a general use EpiPens throughout the school, which is fantastic. So wherever you are in the school, there's one in the library, there's one in the music block, and there's one up at the hall, and then there's one in the office. So wherever you are in the school, there's now, you're in reach with an EpiPen. So, but it was very, very challenging school. There was just one thing after another at school.
Do you have any tips or advice for others that are trying to get their advocating voice?
I think you just have to actually just do it. And the more you do it, the better you'll get. If you do have meetings, I'd say if you can bring along a support person. I know for me, like, I knew what had to happen. But when you're the actual parent, you become very emotional. And I think if you have someone there, I've seen parents that have gone in and they've advocated, you know, I said, write things down, have a list, because otherwise you're going to forget what you go in there to ask for. So first of all, have a list of the things that you would like implemented in the school, like, or you'd like to talk to about and discuss. And secondly, if they say no, you've got your support person there that will help you find your voice, you know, because you might be in tears. I've met lots of parents that are literally in tears in these meetings because they basically feel like they're being bullied. And so if you have a support person, they're there to say, well, you know, why can't you do these things? Why is hand washing such a challenge in your school? You know, I've been to one school where they wouldn't implement hand washing, and they instead, this is just terrible, they actually did it in a bucket. So they were washing hands in a bucket. So not only do you have all the germs in the bucket, you actually have all the allergens in the bucket. So, I mean, a lot of people will start off very, very quietly, but they the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
How did my food allergy friends start?
It was really just when I was diagnosed with seven allergies, I was like, okay, first of all, I've got to educate myself. So I set about educating myself all about allergies. And then I was like, well, hang on, like if the statistics are like, you know, 1 in 10 babies are diagnosed with an allergy before their first birthday, why aren't there any resources out there? Why hasn't this been taught in childcare and school? And it just blew my mind that nobody was doing anything about it. And as I said, like I did find a book. It was an American book about an elephant that had allergies, which was, you know, cute. But I had seven allergies. So we're not just talking about nuts, because 14 years ago, that was the real focus. It was all about nuts. Everybody's heard of a peanut allergy or a nut allergy. But what about milk? And milk's in everything. So that's when I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write a book. And if no one else is doing it, then I'm going to do it. So I'm going to write a book. And I want it to be, you know, about a real little person. I want them to be confident. I want them to know the name of their medicine. So, you know, because at the end of the day, when they're at school, they might be the ones that need to ask for it. So I wrote the first book, and then I realized it was everybody around Ty that also needed to be educated. So then we kind of like followed all the challenges that he has as he grows up. So like going to the city was the second book. So that's talking about going out for the day as a family, remembering EpiPens, being offered food by people. I mean, so many families will be offered food, sometimes even by dentists or GPs, you know. No. So learning how to say no, and then what the family might be able to do, like carry safe treats. Then we've got an eating out in restaurants as well, which is a big one. Then we've got starting kindy, so educating everybody around the child. And then we've got school. So again, not being afraid of our allergies, not keeping them secret. It's really important that our friends know we have allergies, know we carry an EpiPen. And then the last book that I wrote for children was the Ty's Ambulance Ride. And I was very passionate about that, because so many of us focus on how we can prevent a reaction from happening. But the reality is there's going to be food accidents, and your child is one day probably going to have anaphylaxis. And if you've not spoken to them about what happens next, there's going to be a lot of fear there. So when Ty first had his reaction, he was seven when he had his first reaction. So he'd gone a long time knowing that he'd had allergies, doing all these really annoying things, as he says, you know, checking a million things. You know, why? Because he'd never seen the effects of allergies. And then he had his reaction. And as a family, we probably practice every sort of 3 to 6 months with trainer pens. Obviously, by then I was really into my food allergy friends, so he was very, very educated. He had his first reaction, and I went to give him his EpiPen, and I'd actually just come back from Melbourne at the time. And so I'd literally, my husband had been doing the food, and so I left him, you know, we had a coffee, an afternoon snack, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just won't do anything because, you know, Dad knows how to do it. And so he gave him a soy yogurt, but straight away Ty said, oh, this yogurt tastes funny. And I was like, oh, there's only one like taste, you know, flavor of that yogurt. Why does it taste funny? So I checked the packet and realized that he picked up the lactose-free yogurt of the same brand, which is in identical packaging. Easy mistake to make if you're not reading labels, which is why it's so important to read labels, which was a good lesson for the family. And so then, you know, Ty started to have symptoms. And then we said, you know, you need your EpiPen. And he actually ran away from me. And that was the last thing I was expecting, knowing how educated he is. But he actually ran away from me. And so I said, oh, you know, I'll get my trainer out. So I literally got my trainer out of my suitcase. She said, we'll do it with the trainer and then we'll do it with the real thing. So we did it with the trainer, which was enough to calm him down. Because literally the last parent I spoke to in Melbourne had actually had her child had moved when she'd given the EpiPen, and she actually had EpiPen, you know, damage on her leg. So that was going through my mind, you know, I can't chase this child around with the EpiPen. So the trainer EpiPen calmed him down enough, and then we gave him the real thing, and he said he didn't feel the difference. But, you know, as a family, that we've done so much education with him and we've practiced with the trainer pen, you don't think they're going to be afraid. But if you focus a lot on preventing allergies, which of course we need to do, but you haven't then gone, okay, well, once you have the EpiPen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go in an ambulance and you're going to stay in hospital for, you know, 4 hours at least. You might need a second EpiPen. We need to have these conversations with our children so that they're not afraid, so they do know what's going to happen next. Otherwise they're kind of thinking, okay, well, this is a thing we've trying to be avoiding all our life, and suddenly it's happened. What's going to happen next? And I've had one, when I brought out Ty, goes for an ambulance ride, I had one parent that wouldn't read it to her child. She got it, and she had all the other books, and the child, you know, loved Ty and Rabbi and that. She wouldn't read that one because she was too nervous about talking about anaphylaxis, needing the EpiPen. And then eventually her child actually said, you know, will you please read this, Ma? So she read it to him, and that's his favourite book now. And, you know, it just opened those conversations, because the book's not scary. All our stories aren't scary. They're very practical. They're very real life. But, you know, we can still have fun when we're learning about allergies. And, you know, we do a lot of play-based stuff as well. You know, like in the doctor kit, we have EpiPens. So we would practice like eating out with allergies, or, you know, if I needed an EpiPen, like Ty would give it to me. So, you know, it can still be fun when we're learning about allergies.
With his fear of the EpiPen in that scenario, what were the areas that you actually did to make him feel a bit safer, or did he feel safer with the next allergic reactions?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So after his reaction, you know, we talked to him about, you know, did it hurt? You know, why did you run away? You know, you know the drill with this trainer EpiPen. And, you know, he said, oh, it actually didn't hurt. Like, it was just the fear of the unknown, basically. But when he had it, he said, oh, it actually didn't hurt. And it made him feel so much better. Obviously, you know, all the symptoms he was having from anaphylaxis were horrible, but the EpiPen, you know, very, very quickly helped him. So that alleviated that fear. But we also then took him to an open day at an ambulance station. So, and that really helped him go through with all the things that happened, because he can't really remember everything that happened. So, you know, the thing that they put on your finger, this is what it's called, this is what it's doing. He had an amazing paramedic that spoke to him all about lizards. So, you know, he found the whole thing, you know, it's not scary, you know, because you don't know what a paramedic's like. If you've never met a paramedic, you don't know what they're doing in the ambulance. So we went through, you know, everything that had happened in the ambulance, and they also did CPR at the open day as well, which was, he found really interesting as well. But I also found that each of the family dealt with it differently. So Ty, I kind of feel, was almost the least affected by it. His brother, who would have been 10 at the time, who wasn't there when he had the EpiPen. He got a call from Ty in hospital saying, you know, oh, I've just had my EpiPen, I'm in hospital and I've been in an ambulance. He was actually the one that was probably most affected by it. And he wrote a essay at school. I didn't know anything about this, but then he wrote an essay at school about how important people are in your life. Oh, it makes me emotional thinking about that. But yeah, and I remember reading that and going, oh my God, like, I didn't think that affected you, like, because that's your brother. So, and it affected me, like, I think every time my mind would go quiet, I would just like relive, did I do everything right? Like, oh, how could I have done anything different? It was just every time I would go to sleep and my mind would be silent, I would start reliving it and going through everything. But then it also made so much more sense to me as well, because like for 7 years I've been doing all those things to keep him safe, and you're kind of thinking, like, you know, is this really necessary? And then you realize, yes, it is. This is, you know, this is what happens when you have a food accident. Yeah, I think as hard as it is seeing your child have anaphylaxis, I also think you have to accept that your child has, you know, allergies. They're going to have anaphylaxis at some point, maybe multiple times. And when you have the confidence to know you can manage it, you've got things in place, it's going to be okay. So
And the training that you did with him as a young age as well really helped, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I was so surprised that he had that kind of fear of the EpiPen, because he was very hands-on with all of his allergy management right from an early age. Even when he was going to kindy, we'd make him pack his bag. So he was learning the habit of putting his EpiPen in his bag. And obviously we were overseeing everything, but it's just that habit. If you do it from when they're like two and go into kindy, then by the time they're a teenager, hopefully it doesn't all go out the window.
You do training with childcares and schools. Could you tell us a little bit about that work that you do?
Yeah, so it's really a fun way to learn about allergies. So we use Ty as a focal point to teach kids about allergies. And Ty in the stories have obviously got multiple allergies, because we don't want kids just to think it's nuts. And so we teach them all about allergies, what might happen to somebody if they have an allergic reaction. And, you know, we tell them what an EpiPen is. So by the end of the session that I do with them, they all know what an EpiPen is. We do a 30-minute session where I read the stories, and they basically have to keep Ty safe. So when Ty goes to a birthday party, I say, okay, so can Ty eat the cake? The cake's made with egg and milk. Can Ty have it? And they're like, no, danger food, because they know that Ty is allergic to egg and milk. And they're like, okay, well, what can Ty have instead? And they're like, well, he can have this cake. And then he takes his own safe food to the party. And then we play a little game. And one of the things is, a lot of kids aren't invited to birthday parties. So that's one of the things I sort of say after reading the story, you know, so if you have a friend that has allergies, can they come to your birthday party? A lot of the kids will still say no in these sessions. And I say, but hang on, we've just seen that Ty's gone to a party and he was completely safe and he took his own food. And they're like, oh, yes. Because, and that way, you know, these kids will, they'll go home to their mums and dads and they'll say, you know, we learned all about allergies today and such at our kindy has allergies, but we can still invite them to, you know, my birthday party next week. So, so it's really fun, but they just have very simple knowledge of allergies and how to support their friends. And then obviously the childcare centre or school back up those, you know, allergy awareness with, you know, why we wash hands. So we're washing hands before and after eating, and we're not sharing food. Some centres will also have special plates, coloured plates or bowls for kids with allergies. So it's just really like, it's a whole community effort, really, because then obviously when the session happens, then there'll be a newsletter that goes home to the families so they learn all about allergies.
That's lovely to hear that they will actually invite kids to their parties after you talk them through how to do it.
Yeah, because we don't want to focus, obviously, you know, it's important that they know, you know, that Ty can't have a lot of the food at the birthday party, but we don't want to go, okay, well, that's very negative. So, you know, what can we focus on? What can he have? Oh, you know, he can have fun making his own food with his mum and he can take that to the party. So it's all about sort of empowering kids with allergies. And it's amazing, like a lot of the kids might be that have allergies when I do the events might be quite quiet to start with. By the end of it, they've got so much to say because they're like, oh, this is like, I know this stuff. This is what I do. And they might share their story. So like I've had one kid that stood up, I think it was about three, and he stood up and said, yes, I know all about the EpiPen. You know, I said, does anybody know what this is? And this kid stood up and said, yes, I know what that is. That's an EpiPen. I had one 2 weeks ago and I had to go in an ambulance. And then he shared his story with the kids. So it's just really nice, and they're just like little sponges. They're like little food police as well. After the events, I hear from a lot of educators that they'll go, you know, the kids are going, oh yeah, such and such can't have milk or such and such can't have eggs, so make sure you wash your hands. So instead of having one educator that's trained, you know, you've got a whole room of people that are allergy aware, which is fantastic.
How many years have you been making childcares and primary schools allergy aware?
So the first book came out in 2012. And then I kind of realized, okay, well, you know, that's teaching the child with allergies, that's going out to families. But I thought, you know, how am I going to reach a whole load of people? So then it obviously took, I think, like 4 years to write the whole series of books. And then in 2016, I did my first events in childcare. And I still have those first childcare centres back in 2016 running this program to this day. So they actually, when I go there, I get hugged and they say, so how's Ty doing now? And I'll show him a picture of him and they're, oh my goodness, he's so big now. So it's really nice. And then like these centers, you know, will tell other centers and the word of mouth is getting round now.
Is there a milestone in the work that you've done that you're particularly proud of?
Just recently, when I attended the allergy show in Sydney, I actually had families come up to me and their kids were now like 13 or 14 and they'd actually been using all the resources from when their child was little. And they just said, you know, you changed our life. You made, you know, you didn't make me feel so alone, because I also do a lot of resources for families, like getting ready for school and things like that. So they were saying, yeah, we've used all your resources. And so I got to meet some of these kids. So that was really nice. And there was another time I did an event once and the childcare actually, I always encourage the childcare centre to invite parents and grandparents in if they want to. Obviously a lot of families are working, so that's not possible. But this particular one, we had a lot of parents in the event. And 2 weeks later, I got an email from the lady that organised it. And she said, actually one of the children had their first reaction. They didn't know they had allergies. But because of your talk, the parent knew exactly what was happening to their child and they knew what to do and to get help straight away. So that was really fantastic to hear.
That's really impactful to hear. That's really lovely. If you met someone at the beginning of this allergy journey, similar to the person that just found out that they had an allergy, what would you say to them?
A couple of things. I think mindset's really important. As a parent, you need to educate yourself first, because if you're, you know, really fearful, your child is going to be fearful. So you need to be a really good role model. So you need to educate yourself first, and then your child will be watching you and he will pick up on the confidence that you have. So having a really good mindset and making sure your child has a good mindset. I think also mental health is really important. So if you find that you are overwhelmed, you are finding it really challenging, then it's important to seek help as well. So because it's no good if you're not managing, then the whole family is going to, you know, your child's going to see you like that. And the other thing is, don't let allergies define your child and don't let allergies stop them from doing anything. It's just a really, really tiny part of who they are. And that's, you know, really important for Ty. So, you know, he says, you know, I'm not the allergy kid. I'm the surf kid, and allergies are just a small part of me.
That's really lovely to hear. Where can people find more about My Food Allergy Friends?
So I have a website, so myfoodallergyfriends.com, or I'm on all social media, so Instagram and Facebook. And I love to hear your stories and your challenges, because it's through those we can see like what's still happening at childcare centres that need changing, or at school that need changing, and then we can create resources. Because I've been through that, I really understand what people are going through. So I love to hear stories, both good and bad, because I love hearing good stories as well. We don't want to just focus on the bad stories. You know, if you've had a really good experience at childcare or school where your centre has handled Christmas amazingly, or you felt really included, it's really nice to share those positive stories as well. So, yeah, please get in touch in one of those ways.
That sounds so lovely. Is there anything else that you would like to say, Jackie?
No, just thank you very much for having me here on the podcast today. And I love all the work that you guys are doing as well.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing your story and also sharing the great work that you're doing with My Food Allergy Friends as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing your story and for coming onto the show. We really appreciate it. And it was invaluable to hear about the work that you've been doing, not just educating young children, but also the awareness that you've done through that, and you know, with the books and the other programs. It's just absolutely amazing.
And for those that want to find out more about Jackie's work for allergy education, but also allergy awareness for children and childcare, go to myfoodallergyfriends.com. You can find more information there.
It's not the end of our Talking Allergies episodes.
We're talking more allergies in the next episode.
So stay tuned. And of course, visit www.algylife.com.au/talkingallergies to find out all the more information about upcoming episodes and to catch up on all the previous episodes too.
Thank you, and catch you on the next Talking Allergies.
See you then. The discussions on Talking Allergies are here to support you or your loved one on your journey with allergies. The topics discussed here are not intended as medical instruction or as a substitute for advice by a qualified healthcare provider.